Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Thursday where so much is going on. It's almost stunning everything that's going on, especially at Rutgers. I think by now everybody has a pretty good handle on the Brady thing. We've had a handle on the Brady thing from day one. I said on day one, Brady would play against the Steelers. Not what you wanted to hear.
And you know what? There's not enough evidence to show that he shouldn't play.
There wasn't any evidence.
Right. And I just wanted to not have him play if that option was available.
That's because it's always a simple thing. Losers want people to be injured. All right.
I didn't say I wanted him to be injured. That's not what I said.
Oh, for goodness sakes. You look, you're the type of fan that sits there and goes, Blunt, he has a twinge, can't go. Come on, admit it. You're a fraud. Your team is not good enough to beat teams at full strength, and you know it.
Actually, I just got a text saying, asking me if I'm excited they named a tropical storm after me.
Oh, they did?
I did not know I was on the list. Yes! Yes, I am a storm in the Pacific. I didn't realize that.
I can already predict its path.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
It'll meander aimlessly.
All right, I'll give you credit. That was good. I'm about 505 miles southwest of Los Cabos.
I've known that for 4 years.
I'm a tropical storm.
Allow me to absorb that moment. All right. The Brady thing is one thing. Rutgers is something else completely different. And this is, you always try to start with stories that affect your area and what you do. The Rutgers story, while happening at Rutgers, has an effect because 2 weeks from Saturday, Rutgers is here. That's why you do whatever you can to localize any story. Now, the Brady thing, you can't really localize too much, despite the fact that there are some similarities to certain things, which I'm not going to get into. Just not going to. Jack Ham, by the way, today at 4:06. Thought I'd slip that in there. He, too, was very impressed with you being named a tropical storm.
Is he excited about that? We'll talk about that when he calls in.
Yeah, be great. 5 Rutgers football players suspended, and these are not small charges at all. This is quite a convoluted story. And I don't know how much you've delved into it. I haven't been able to check the email yet to see if this made your cut.
You didn't get one of those today. It was a busy day. Sorry. I was slacking.
Busy day? What, did Lawrence have you run laps? What?
You do know it's like day before game day. I mean, 4 games, trying to get everything around. Busy day.
Well, tomorrow's the day before my game day. I'm going to go play golf.
Yeah, that I can believe. So tell me about Rutgers.
I already got my work done. What the heck? All right. Five players, including, look, basically this depletes their secondary. The players charged are Dre Boggs of Coatesville, Pennsylvania, Ruan Peel, Nadir Barnwell, both of Piscataway, Razan Gross, the backup fullback, and DeLon Stevenson, the starting safety. Stevenson's brother Daryl, former player, also remains at large. The players are suspended indefinitely by Rutgers. Now here's the total. Let's go through the total Rutgers story here, start to finish, then leading up to the arrest today. Barnwell is at the center of the investigation of Kyle Flood, the football coach. They're looking into whether the Rutgers football coach broke a school policy by contacting a professor regarding Barnwell's grades. Remember, the junior corner was declared academically ineligible in the spring and has been practicing, banged up, probably was not going to play the opener, but was going to play a lot this year. Flood defied academic support staff when he contacted the professor, according to two sources. Peel had already been charged with an assault in August of 2014 for allegedly pulling the hair and scratching the face of a girlfriend. Charges were later dropped. Barnwell previously has been arrested for DUI and careless driving in October 2013. Happened in a one-car crash in Piscataway in 2013. Flood had a press conference today, and he told reporters he was confident he would coach the team in the season opener Saturday against Norfolk State. Shortly after the press conference, the police showed up at the football building. Why did they show up at the football building? Why? Well, because they were arresting players. Here's the press release from the Middlesex County Prosecutor's Office. 9 of the 10 defendants were arrested today. One remains at large. The arrest stemmed from an active and continuing investigation by the Middlesex County Prosecutor's Office and the New Brunswick Police Department. The investigation began last spring when police were called to a home invasion on Prosper Street in New Brunswick on April 26th at 11:29 at night after three masked men forced their way into the home and stole an undisclosed amount of cash and marijuana from five students at gunpoint. During an intensive investigation, police arrested T.J. Johnson of Egg Harbor, former student, former player, charged with robbery, criminal restraint, theft, and possession of a weapon for an unlawful purpose. As the investigation continued, police linked Johnson to a home invasion on Hartwell Street in New Brunswick. Police determined that Johnson and Dre Boggs, 20, of Coatesville, Pennsylvania, forced their way into the home and, armed with a bat and a knife, robbed a student of approximately $900 and an undisclosed amount of marijuana. They were arrested today on charges of robbery, burglary, while armed, and conspiracy to commit an armed robbery. Another student, Dylan Mastriana of Rio Grande, not a member of the football team, was charged with those counts after the investigation determined that he helped plan the robbery. In a third home invasion, Johnson and Boggs were charged with robbery, conspiracy to commit armed robbery, and attempted burglary while armed for trying to force their way into another student's room on the dormitory complex at Livingston College in Piscataway. What happened that night was that they entered the dorm room but fled when the students targeted in the robbery resisted by closing and locking the door to their room as Johnson and Boggs attempted to force their way in. Nothing was stolen in that incident. They also arrested Gian Chan, Mastriania, and Kaylana Ricks of Perth Amboy. They say that Mastriana and Chen planned that robbery while Ricks drove Johnson and Boggs in a getaway vehicle. Police further determined that Johnson was one of six individuals who surrounded a group of at least four other individuals, including a Rutgers student, and assaulted them on Delafield Street on April 25th. The six were charged today with aggravated assault, riot, conspiracy to commit a riot. A 19-year-old male student suffered a broken jaw during the unprovoked attack. In addition to Johnson, Ruan Peel, Nadir Barnwell, both of Piscataway, Razan Gross of Franklin Park, and DeLon Stevenson, his brother Daryl, were the ones who were charged in that incident. Peel had been a wideout. They moved him to defense. He was going to be in the rotation in the backfield. Barnwell, rotation in the backfield. DeLon Stevenson scheduled to start at safety. Dre Boggs scheduled to start at corner. So you're talking about four of the six members of their key safety guys and their backup fullback, who, by the way, have been battling Sam Bergen for the starting fullback job. Bergen had won the job, it appears, but Gross was going to probably play some. Now all five are suspended indefinitely at Rutgers. It would be very difficult to believe that it will resolve itself in 2 weeks and they would play against Penn State. Very difficult to believe. The wheels don't turn that quickly. So that is a huge story on this, the first day of the college football season, with Michigan playing at Utah tonight and Minnesota hosting TCU tonight. So that is a huge story that, in the end, has some effect on what you see when Penn State plays. The Brady story, of course, huge. We'll talk about that in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
0-66.
The winning play is at Sunbury Motors Kia. 0% financing for 66 months.
I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia has the winning play with 0% APR financing for 66 months. Why pay interest when you can drive away in any new Kia with 0% financing? Choose from 2015 Kia Fortes, Optimas, Souls, Cadenzas, Sedonas, Sportages, and 2016 Serenos. Sunbury Motors Kia has every color and every option available. Plus, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Ask yourself, why pay interest on a new vehicle? Come to Sunbury Motors Kia now and pay 0% APR for 66 months. Owning a brand new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
0-66.
Financing to well-qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Remember, when it comes to Brady and the Patriots, what the judge ruled on today was the process by which he was suspended. But it was interesting, the questions he asked during the course of the hearings, and the questions were all negative toward the NFL and about the Wells report. We can have suspicions about anything we want, and they may be deep-seated, legitimate suspicions about anything, but when it comes to meeting out punishment, you have to have proof. And that's the problem I've had the entire time with the Brady situation. There is a line called suspicion, and there's a line called guilty because of proof. The difference between the line of suspicion and the line of guilty based on proof is a chasm. In the Pete Rose investigation, John Dowd was able to build the bridge and cross the chasm from suspicion to guilty with proof, because he ended up with betting slips, phone records, things like that, and testimony that allowed him to get to the conclusion he was guilty. In the Brady case, that doesn't exist. Now, you've got a guy like Greg Hardy who says he might consider also suing to get his suspension wiped out. If I'm Greg Hardy, I'd be very careful and be grateful I'm down to four games. I saw that today and I thought, excuse me, don't be a fool. Take your four games. You had 10. Now you get four. Stop playing. Don't play games. The last thing he needs to do is shine light on things that have gone wrong. Brady's suspension was the equivalent of being put in jail for 4 years for jaywalking. I am absolutely for the integrity of the game. Absolutely for it. No question about it. But you got to prove to me that the integrity of the game has been messed with. And let's take the wealth. Everything about this story has not passed the smell test from day one on both sides. The Ravens letting the NFL, they're suspicious. The Colts letting the NFL know they're suspicious. And then the intercepted ball. And then after the game, you know, the leaking of the story. The leaking of the story that the footballs were as much as 2 pounds underweight. And 11 of the 12 were 2 pounds underweight. And the fact that two esteemed reporters took the bait. Then the NFL doesn't pass the smell test by not correcting it because they've got the measurements. They have the measurements. Brady's press conference handled so poorly, didn't pass the smell test. Wells report, $3 to $5 million worth. You read that? Doesn't pass the smell test. Not even close. Kind of, sort of, we think. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, he probably did, sure. That's the report in the nutshell. You pay $5 million for that? I wouldn't pay $5 for that. I'd withhold payment. Look at me. Get out of here. Right? That doesn't pass the smell test. 4-game suspension doesn't pass the smell test. I mean, none of this does. The cell phone story doesn't pass the smell test. But would I turn my cell phone over to the Wells people? Never in a million years. I've got to turn it over to an independent investigator and I don't trust. When you have suspicions, they already have the conclusion. Now I've got to write the report around the conclusion. I mean, that's, I'm sure, what Brady thought. I mean, I wouldn't turn it over. They'd look at me and go, hey, here's a big-time word for you, a subpoena. Go get one, then I'll give it to you. Now, you know, if like I've told said before, if you guys ask me, you want to have nothing, I'd read the darn thing. I could care less. But I would never give it to an independent investigator. I mean, why? Why would I give it to somebody I don't know and I don't trust? Somebody that's out to get me. I'm not going to do that. You wouldn't either. Yeah, none of you would. Come on. Don't be so, oh, yeah, I'd give it to them. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't give it to them. You know, track record on independent investigators over the last 20 years, not very good. Okay. You know, we can go through chapter and verse on many big cases where you sit back and go, what? I mean, none of this. I mean, and remember, the NFL picked this court. They picked it. The second they handed down that that Goodell said he was upholding the 4-game suspension, what was the first group that went to court? The NFL. What court did they pick? This court. The NFLPA and Brady went second, and they picked Minneapolis. And the Minneapolis judge said, no, it should be heard in Manhattan where the NFL picked. So the NFL got beat in the court they picked. If I'm the two equipment guys, by the way, the two equipment guys cannot get their job back unless the NFL approves them.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Jack Ham, next half hour. Recently voted as the unluckiest man in the world. And they had my picture next to him.
Is that just because you were sitting side by side? Or
I found it to be disturbing. Time now for our high school football previews. But before we get to that, Kevin is driving another Sunbury Motors vehicle, which, by the way, will be turned in tomorrow.
It will indeed be turned in tomorrow. And my tears of, you know, depression are, could be your tears of joy come tomorrow afternoon or Saturday or even Monday when you sign the papers and start driving around in the Hyundai Genesis. The brand new Hyundai Genesis offers a panoramic sunroof, complete HD radio system with surround sound, the wide 8-inch screen that is a touch screen, and you can control everything from that screen, including being able to control the air conditioning systems as well, that has a dual setting as well as an automatic setting. So you set the temperature in the cabin, it'll automatically adjust the fan speed and what air conditioning ducts are being used so that you can get to that said temperature in the cabin. Plus, it has the rear window sunshade, rear defrost, LED headlamps, and a quiet and smooth all-wheel drive ride. Check it out. The Sunbury Motors Hyundai Genesis. It's available at Sunbury Motors Hyundai routes in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. That's where you'll find Lincoln and Ford as well. Kia on routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And right now, the Hyundai Genesis is well under the price of what you would expect for a BMW or Lexus that has the same type of features, Steve.
Well, coming up tomorrow, it is the high school football openers. We're finally at that time. College football begins tonight. Minnesota TCU, Utah Michigan, among others. But high school football gets rolling in the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. Will have a big night tomorrow night. We will start with Lewisburg at Shikellamy. You'll hear the game on 100.9 The Valley. The Lewisburg side will be handled by Matt Cotrillo. Matt, welcome, and it's great to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Steve. Really excited to talk some football with you guys, and I'm really excited to get back under the Friday Night Lights tomorrow.
Well, let's get to the Lewisburg side of this. When you look at them, what are some elements that they're going to bring to the table that could make them a team that could win some games this year?
Well, first of all, I look at the run game with Dominic Farinato coming into the mix. Of course, he is the transfer from Mount Carmel. So I'm really curious to see and excited to see what they do as far as game planning him into the picture. And then when you look at it this the rest of the way, it's this passing game. You have Aaron Veloz at tight end, who I think is a nice, versatile receiver. Noah Inch, a wide receiver you have. He's a big, athletic kid, good size. I think he'll be very good, another dominant weapon in the passing game like he has in the past, along with Matt Fedoraka, too, another tall guy for them to go after. So I think I look at those couple of guys on offense with senior quarterback Trent Gower coming in to the mix as well in his first full year now as the starting quarterback.
Ryan, concerns heading in. What would the Lewisburg staff be concerned about that if a couple things fell into place and things went well, it would actually make them a better team?
They're a little bit undersized on the offensive line, and they're facing a Shikellamy team tomorrow night, Steve, that definitely is a lot bigger than them. So it's going to be a battle between the bigger guys and a bigger offensive line in Shikellamy, but a probably more athletic offensive line in Lewisburg. And with the humidity tomorrow night, that'll definitely play a factor in those battle in the trenches. And I was at practice Tuesday talking with Coach Mike Ferrero, and he says that is definitely going to be a major factor in this game, winning those battle in the trenches.
Good to see that one of the play-by-play announcers for the game went to a practice.
Yeah,
Matt,
I was waiting for that to come out. There we go. Feel better now? It's because Matt does a better job than I. He's more dedicated. All right, I admit it.
It's good to talk, Matt, with somebody who's young and hungry.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Yeah, this is my first year here in the area. Just
you'll be great.
Looking to make a name, and looking forward to tomorrow night.
I need my Apollo Creed to train me.
100.9 The Valley is where you'll have Matt's call tomorrow night. We'll get to the Shikellamy side in just a few moments. Let's get to Milton at Troy. It'll be on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP, which means Steve Williams on the call. Steve, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Steve.
All right, so let's get to the Milton side. What are the pluses for Milton heading into the season that they will build around?
What we're going to find out early is if all the experiments with the underclassmen last year paid off. They started a lot of youngsters, and those guys have a year of experience, including Hunter Snyder at quarterback, a senior this year. And the main part of their game, of course, with the Delaware wing T is that fullback, Brandon Stokes, who carried the load for them last year. Again, we'll do it again this year as a senior. Stokes, just a little shy of 200 pounds, and you know, he's a load to bring down.
Well, they don't enter into the season by gently going in. They have to go to Troy. That will be a very tough matchup. Couple of weaknesses that were apparent last year that could turn into strengths this year. Where might that be?
Well, defensive line. Again, they were very young. They started a lot of kids, and of course, at the quarterback with Hunter Snyder. Hunter had some big shoes to fill with a 4-year starter, and you know, he looked shaky at first, developed a little bit, but you know, he's grown a couple inches, has gotten a lot. You know, probably gained about 15 pounds. And has gotten quicker, and you know, Coach Goodwin is very high on this kid. He said he's got a great attitude. He's turned into a great leader, and you know, they're going to be leaning on him pretty heavy to see how he has developed in the off season as well.
How tough is this opener, because it is Troy?
Oh, it's real tough. You know, they get in the bus tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Got to ride 2 hours. Get up there, kind of get ready. Troy really handled them last year. They did lose a couple of All-State players, but they run a belly option, which is the only time that Milton will see that offense this year. So they've got to, you know, they've got to practice for that. But, you know, they've got some big, strong, quick kids. It's a tough opener for them. There's no doubt about that.
Steve, always a pleasure. His call of the game will be on 1380, Talk Radio 1380 WMLP in Milton. Thanks so much, Steve Williams. We transition now to, I think we're going to have Ryan Brandt next, so we're waiting for Ryan.
Still waiting for Ryan, but I have Dave Ritchie ready to go.
Dave Ritchie, Lewisburg, and Shikellamy. Since Dave's the only one that's gone to practice, we'll
there
talk
we
to him.
I got that one in there quick.
Dave, welcome. It's great to have you with us. Hello, Dave. None of them are prepared.
There we go.
Can you hear me now, Steve?
Yes, I can, Dave. Let me guess, Dave. This was a process of operator error.
Listen, since I'm his buddy for the next 9 months, I'm not going to go there. All right?
We've got to spend a lot of time together over the next 9 months. So,
well, Dave, power of prayer, my man.
This is right, 20 years. All right, 20 years. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Let's talk about Shikellamy. I know when we talked to Matt Cottrello, you talked about the concern about the size. Discuss that the fronts that Shikellamy brings to the table. And, Kevin, you could join in, too, here at any point if there's some names you recognize.
Well, Shikellamy has a line that's nice size. These kids are not the, you know, they're probably average 220 to 230, but they're most of the kids are pretty lean size. But the thing about the line is they're starting a sophomore, two juniors, or three juniors and a senior from tackle to tackle. So all of those kids played last year, you know, really, really young, and they're hoping that it really helps them. I mean, Jeremy Bacon's the only senior, and he's going to be at center. But the guards, they've moved Derek Bussey from center to guard, and you know, he's like 6'2", 230 pounds, and he moves very well. And of course, in the wing T, you have to pull a lot. Bryce Snyder's another nice-sized guard. He's a junior. And the two tackles, a sophomore, Harrison Reese, who's starting his second year as a starter on the varsity, and Jacob Stein, who is 6'7". All right, he's more of a basketball player, but he's the left tackle. And I've seen him in the scrimmage, and I've been at practice, and he's doing very well for this. Basically, he's going to be his second year playing that position. So I think they're very solid up front in the line.
And I think that's the one thing that's been missing over the last couple of years with Shikellamy has been a solid line. Last year, as you mentioned, Dave, lots of injuries. Derek Bussey moved around a lot during that time. Jeremy Bacon moved around on the line, filling in spots. So it'll be nice to see what this solid running game over the last couple of years with Turber back as well will be able to do with a concrete line in front of him. And like you mentioned, Dave, it is a large-sized athletic line.
Dave, here's the other part. Do you sense that on both sides of the football, Shikellamy is a better balanced team than a year ago?
Oh, very much so. Defensively, they have a freshman starting at the left end, but everybody else has been playing for the last couple of years. I will say this, Lewisburg is going to be a big test for the secondary because Sean Turber is the only returning player that has any type of, the best experience, and he'll be at safety. So the corners, Chris Tasker is a junior, and Tate Kronkowski, who's a sophomore, is going to it's going to test them. It really are because I did Lewisburg for 6 years, and last year I saw all of these special wideouts and the quarterback play, and they're legit. They really are. So Shikellamy is going to be tested. Linebackers, Kobe Swanger and Ethan Oakes are going to be in the middle, and Gabe Tilford and Josh Krieger will be on the outside. All of them with experience.
And Gabe Tilford had a great end of the season last year. If he comes back and when he gets to be 100% healthy, he's going to be a big force, not only offense, a defensive side of the ball, but also as a running back. He saw some carries late in the season last year.
Steve, I think the one place that Shikellamy is really strong is Christian Schlegel at quarterback.
Right.
He's a big kid. And he's probably one of the fastest kids on the team. He does a nice job of attacking the corner, pulls up when he has to inside the guard's block to throw. But he's going to be a legitimate running threat, and that gives him Turber and Pearson White and, of course, Gabe Tilford. They've got a pretty solid backfield.
7 o'clock tomorrow night, 6:30 the airtime, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. How far is it from the studio to the field, Dave?
Oh, it's only about maybe 2 miles, two and a half miles.
I know where he's going with this.
You know, Jack Ham goes 270 miles round trip and makes 5-6 practices during it. Oh, that's okay. Well,
yeah, but he doesn't have to do a show every day at 3.
Two miles? And they even gave you a vehicle. All right. You have nothing.
I got nothing.
just look, you got to admit, it's a called strike 3. Just take the bat, go back to the dugout.
I thought it was a whisker outside, but, you know.
Steve, one thing, like Matt said, Dave, about Coach Ferrara at Lewisburg, all the coaches at Shikellamy, well, a lot of them I coached when they played football, but they were really receptive to me being there. In fact, I rode out to the scrimmage with
them.
That's
great.
It was back to – it was like – I tell you what, I felt that like I was almost back coaching, and it's really nice to be, I say, back home at Shikellamy.
So, don't get too comfortable.
I think that's terrific. No, I really do. I think that's terrific to get that kind of comfort level. Dave, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, that game's on News Radio 1070 WKOK and Eagle 107 tomorrow night. Selinge Grove is at Central Columbia. Ryan Brandt will be a part of the call tomorrow night. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
All right. So, give me a thumbnail on Shikellamy. Selinge Grove. What about Selinge Grove impresses you heading into this season?
Well, I tell you, offensively, I have to go with the QB so far, what I've seen in the Lewisburg and the Central Mountain scrimmage. Logan Leiby last year got some starts as a freshman. Now comes in his sophomore year. He really worked hard in the offseason. He got bigger, got stronger, attended a bunch of QB camps. And I know he worked a lot with his current receiving core, and he has looked excellent in these scrimmages, rolling out in the pocket, play action, really selling it. He's been accurate. And he's throwing it to guys that have great hands, and like a Nick Swineford and a Colin Hoke. So I really think you're going to see a much different pass attack this year. And he's under first-year offensive coordinator Derek Pope as he comes in now and takes over with what is basically a brand-new coaching staff except for a couple guys for Selinge Grove. I mean, Derek Hicks is back. He's the head coach now, taking over for Dave Hess. And, not much is going to change defensively there. But offensively, yeah, you have Pope in there, the offensive coordinator, and he's really going to bring a completely different look. And so far, the different look I've seen is the pass attack, and the way Logan Leiby's played has been pretty impressive.
All right. So, Ryan, that's the foundation there. Those are the building blocks for success. To have long-term success, What are a couple of areas that have a chance to be better, and if it happens, they will be?
Well, I really think that the area that needs to get better from last year, and it's a big unknown this year because a lot of new guys is the offensive line. And I know, and it's old hat to people to say, oh, you know, it all starts with line, but it's so true. I mean, you got guys like, you know, Javon Batts, which is a superstar in the high school level. He's just amazing, some of the stuff that he does. And he's back this year. You've got your receivers back in Colin Hoke and Swineford. And you got Angelo Martin, a guy that went for 1,000 yards as a sophomore. And he's really only had a couple carries last year. Now he's back in the role of helping out that halfback position. But what it comes down to is it's basically a new offensive line minus Jack Dogler and Ryan Hoke. You got a couple guys in there that are going to be new to it. You got a Matt Bingaman that's going to be starting at right tackle. He didn't play his junior or sophomore year because of injuries. But as a freshman, he got in there. And actually, he's the one that made the nice long snap for the game-winning field goal week one 3 years ago against Mifflinburg. Then you also throw in Aaron Boob, which has had some time playing here and there, but you know, he's a hard worker. He's getting there. And then Jacob Strickler, which didn't actually play last year, and he's a nice-looking. I mean, you talk about guys that sometimes wear the pads and sometimes the pads wear the guy. Well, this guy wears the pads. 6'3", 246, good athlete, got good footwork, but he didn't play last year. So you get a little bit of unknown there. How's he going to be when the Friday night lights are on? But he's definitely got high potential. So, I mean, Strickler, Boob, Gogler, Hoke, and Bingaman, I really think that's the big question mark. How are those guys going to form together? If they can be a good offensive line, Seals Grove, I feel, is going to be a great team. Now, if they're an average line, I think Seals Grove is going to be a good team. So I really think it comes down to them. And then you throw a completely different Tony Dressler. Tony Dressler probably lost 25, 30 pounds since last year. He went from being a defensive end now to an inside linebacker, and from potentially probably being an offensive lineman this year to now the tight end. He looks fast. He's super athletic. He's strong and got great hands. So that offensive line there, that's where the question mark is. I think they have the ability. I think as the season goes on, they'll get better. But this team's success is going to solely come off that offensive line offensively.
Ryan, look forward to a great call tomorrow night on Eagle 107 as Selins Grove plays at Central Columbia. Thanks a lot for your time, friend.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Ryan Brandt, great to have him with us today. Thanks to all of our announcers. You'll hear the games tomorrow night on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, that's our high school football preview of the games coming up tomorrow night, including Shikellamy and Lewisburg, which you'll hear right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with Kevin Ur and Dave Ritchie. Next half hour, Jack Hamm joins us to talk about Penn State football. Jack, who travels 270 miles round trip to go to practice five, six,
he's
seven
a, he's
times.
A really good guy about that. And for those that are wondering, Dave Ritchie making the move to the Shikellamy broadcast, Coach Dick Hort, under the weather, had some surgery this summer, is not ready to come back yet, so that is why Coach Hort is not with us this particular season, but I know he will be listening and probably ready to not only critique, but also tell me everything I did wrong.
My information is they gave him a stress test and they gave him a series of slides. There was one slide in particular that went up there that was a problem.
Listen, his blood pressure level and stress level is somewhere around yours. Comatose.
Four miles. Wow.
It's a long trip in the summer when your air conditioning isn't working, too.
Yeah, but it's only 2 miles one way.
Still a long trip without air conditioning.
I mean,
plus, you have the traffic on the bridge.